This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Such a bullshit phrase, like jack of all trades, master of none, because it's like, what if it's good to be a little bit good at a lot of things? Who's to say being really good at one thing is better inherently?
Well, that's why it's master of none. It's like, still very good at many of them.
Yeah, like, I could repair a boat.
Sure, but are you a master of boat repair?
Nah.
Well, there we go.
I'll tell you what the problem, who's really to blame. The Oscars. There's no Oscar for pretty good.
That is true.
It's like, you know who was pretty good in 10 movies this year? This person.
That's true. Michael Stuhlbarg would have sweeped last year.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. He was better than pretty good.
He was pretty good in Shape of Water.
He was incredible in Call Me By Your Name.
Sure, but if you average them all together, he was pretty good in three movies. He was pretty good in The Post.
Okay, Larry David, relax.
He was pretty good.
But you know what I mean? It's more important to have one 10 out of 10 performance than 7 out of 10 or 7.5 out of 10.
You're breaking my heart right now.
Well, this is my life.
I'm 7 at best. That's my nickname. Yeah.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Bonjour!
Yabba dabba do. It's another episode of Punch Up the Jam.
I'm Miel.
I'm Demi.
What do we do?
What we do on this podcast or just in our lives?
Both.
Ooh.
Quickly.
Oh, in my life. I like to sleep and skateboard.
And eat gummy bears, you forgot.
Oh, right. Yeah, the three things. Sleeping, skateboard, and gummy bears.
It's your favorite activities.
It is my favorite, the three S's.
Mm-hmm.
Swallowing gummy bears is the third S.
Yep.
What we do on this podcast is we like to talk about a song, talk about why it's good, talk about why it's bad, talk about why it's crazy, and then sort of fix it at the end, if you will.
Would you say it's a punch-up?
I would say that it is a punch-up. I have said that it is a punch-up, and I will again say it is a punch-up.
You're so brave.
Why?
For saying that so many times.
Well, it's hard to talk, but when I start, I can't stop.
That's why you have a podcast.
That's why I'm in a podcast.
Speaking of podcasts.
Okay, continue. I want to see where this is going.
You ever heard of a podcast that's also about music?
Hmm.
But maybe, like, a lot better than ours.
Sure. I mean, where you're going.
That's just so weird, because I feel like maybe he's right here.
Well, let's introduce him. You know him as the host of the Song Exploder podcast. You know him as the co-host of West Wing Weekly. And you know him as the composer behind Netflix's Everything Sucks. Please welcome Hrishikesh Hirway.
That's me.
You're only person qualified to do this podcast.
Correct.
It's finally a guest
of the three of us included.
Well, you know, on Song Exploder, I don't actually speak.
You do at the beginning.
I do at the beginning, but I cut myself out of the interview because I prefer not to speak. So my plan is just, I just wanted to get up close. And see how the magic of Punch Up the Jam.
This feels like a mob move. It's like, oh, I'm not saying anything. I'm just here to watch you guys do my podcast.
It's also such a crime against ears because you have by far the best voice in this room.
Yes, a very smooth, suave voice.
Thank you very much.
That's beautiful. Did you train? That just came to you naturally?
just out of the womb.
Did you have voice
warm-ups?
Wow,
you were like, yo, what's up, mom?
I was a newborn with a baritone.
Rich timber.
You're like, ooh, get this baby to the stadium. Let's have him call some plays.
So if you've never seen Song Exploder, correct me at any point. I'm always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you...
Listened. I'll start there.
There we go.
Every episode is a different song from a different artist.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes repeats.
Nope, no repeats.
Artists, though.
Nope.
Never the same artist.
Never the same artist.
See, that is... I listened to about 3 episodes. I assumed you must be recycling artists.
We're already considering recycling artists.
I know. Well, okay. Let me start over. I already messed this up. Every week, you take a different song from a different artist.
Yep.
You interview the artist, but you cut yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically ends up being like a 15 to 25 minute... most listenable thing in the world of an artist discussing how they wrote a song, how it was produced, why it was produced that way. You have access to the actual stems, to remixed demo versions, and you play them all in, and then you cap the episode by playing the song in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like...
You nailed it. That was exactly...
The best format for a music pop. And it's so short, and it's so sweet, and it's just... It's everything I wish we could do if we were just a little bit more talented.
And a little less egoistic as to not be like, no, it has to be our voices.
Yeah, especially because I spend half this podcast screaming into the microphone.
Same.
No, you play to your strengths. My strength is not as a speaker. Thanks for having me on the show, by the way.
We'd love to have you back.
I'm better as an editor, so
You edit them yourself?
Yeah, I mean, that's the real making of that show is the editing, because I take the interview and, you know, the interviews are usually 90 minutes long, and then I just use the 15 minutes that makes it feel like one, you know, one
story.
Oh,
my God.
The way it's cut makes it feel so much like news, and that it's just kind of like the host isn't there, you're just getting the information and like the little
pieces. It's like the best interview of all time.
Well, that is very, very nice of you to say.
I'm just so excited you're here. I'm sorry.
That's all that we actually just called you here just to say it's very good. And that's the end of the episode.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you wanted to do Young MC's Bust a Move.
Yes.
Any reason why?
It's a really important song in my life. But it also sort of signaled a shift in, I think, the way that I listened to music.
Really?
It came out at a time when I started becoming serious about music, and, uh-huh. and I feel like this was the last song on the radio that was kind of light and frivolous and represented this kind of jokey, fun kind of form of hip hop.
Yep. Yeah.
Even as the song was out, I started to change the way that I was listening to music.
Really?
And so I started off really liking the song, and then somewhere, you know, the song has obviously had a very long shelf life.
Yeah.
And somewhere at that time, you know, things changed for me. I have a conflicted relationship with it as a result. And so I thought it would be fun to talk about all these
things. Yeah. So you started off loving it and now you're over it.
Well, this song came out, I think I was in sixth grade.
1989.
Okay. So I was in fifth
grade. I was
born
the year.
I am old.
I was working my first job at the 7-Eleven that year.
Demi was not born yet.
All right.
I was talented for my age.
But when he did come out, baritone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Both beautiful voices in this room. Oh, shit. So you were in like fifth grade.
I associate the song with sixth grade. And I remember it was a huge hit at the Higgins Middle School.
Where is this?
In Peabody, Massachusetts.
Okay, Massachusetts. Yeah. Really love this song.
Everybody was into it. This was, you know, after Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff had kind of blown our minds. That was a fifth grade song. And then this came out, and it sort of felt in that same kind of tradition.
Yeah.
But it was also the same year that I started listening to Public Enemy and N.W.A.
Yeah. Yeah.
And music started to become something that I was really listening to in a serious way and trying to draw some kind of identity from.
Yeah, none of this kid shit.
Exactly.
You grew up.
Yeah. So sixth and seventh grade, that was all happening, but you also couldn't get away from this song.
Right. I think that was a kind of maybe a common experience. Obviously, I wasn't a real person yet, but from what I read about it, everywhere seems to say that it like really broke down a lot of barriers, because it says it was a rap record that many adults still remember as their first time parents let them play.
Hmm.
So, like, people looked at rap and hard rock as the type of music that you slam your door after you argue with your parents and bang your head in defiance. This is from MC Young.
Yeah.
Or Young MC. Young MC. I'm so sorry. I feel like if they put Young after, that's his last name. Anyway, my record wasn't necessarily rebellious, but it was clever enough to grab in a decent segment of people that didn't listen to rap music. Which is so interesting to me to have only lived through a time when rap has always been in the public eye and popular.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine before that.
Right. No, it was kind of subversive. Even listening to Run DMC, you know, who were huge.
DMC Run, of course, yes.
It felt like, I mean, definitely when I was listening to N.W.A. and Ice-T and Ice Cube, it felt like I had to sneak around. I couldn't listen to that stuff in front of my parents. But
this song is clean.
But this song was totally fine. They played it at, you know, middle school dances.
Yeah, he says sex. I think that's like as far as it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, I found so many crazy facts about this. Please, again, correct me if I say anything wrong. His real name is Marvin Young. And he co-wrote Tone Loc's Wild Thing and Funky Cold Medina.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Which is crazy.
And now if you listen to those songs knowing that, if you compare the way that like Tone Loc's flow in those songs to Bust
like,
a Move.
The I Am Big Pentameter.
The same
He also thing. Wrote this in his dorm room at USC, which is wild to me.
I
he was truly a young
it.
MC.
Yes, this absolutely feels like something a college kid writes.
And then the other thing that blew my mind about this, actually there's so many other things. The song is built from four samples, which I did not realize. Mm-hmm. The most obvious is Found a Child by the group Ball and Jack.
I love this.
I mean, of course you're to sample this. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hearing this made me realize just how much of the song is built off of like just such a small part of another song. Because this is like midway through the song that sample starts, and then it immediately changes into something else.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And do you know who's playing the bass on this song?
I know who's playing the bass on the Young MC song, mm-hmm. but it's Flea.
It's Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And apparently, I tried to fact check this and I could only find one source, so take it with a grain of salt. But he said to Bass Player Magazine, supposedly, "I have a bitter taste in my mouth about that because I feel as though I got ripped off. The bass line I wrote ended up being a major melody of the tune, and I felt I deserved songwriting credit and money because it was a number one hit. They sold millions of records. I got $200.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I fully get that. But also, it's so similar to the
It is,
the
but
sample.
If you pay attention throughout the song, oh my god. Yeah, the bass line in this song is wild. I have such newfound respect for Flea.
Oh, I've always had respect for Flea. He was the voice of Donnie from the Wild Boys. How do you not have respect for that guy?
That's what did you in.
That's what did me in.
I gotta respect this guy now.
Wow, multi-hyphenate.
Also, Silver Lake Music Conservatory. Do you know about that?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Silver Lake.
That's his...
He started that nonprofit.
What?
Used to be next to Intelligentsia.
I love Flea now.
Yeah.
Oh, Flea's like, it seems, a good dude.
Yes. And,
who knew?
Makes music with Tom York, so obviously he's in my good graces.
It's okay. The other songs it samples are Radioactivity by Rural Cash. I think this is the drum sound.
Which is so funny because this feels like just a basic drum machine beat.
There's those claps again.
It very quickly is just like, oh, that's not the same song.
Right. And then two other songs that I can't personally identify where they're sampled, but Scorpio by Dennis Coffey.
This is another drum break.
Yeah.
Oh.
The drum break that comes in the second part. Yeah.
Flea, the only musician that wrote original stuff for this song.
Yes, and the girl is going,
you want it. Oh, Crystal.
Oh, is that Crystal?
Yeah, I wrote Crystal Blake. She is a studio vocalist for Stevie Wonder, who also sung the female lead parts on the minor hit title track for Eddie Murphy's How Could It Be album. She doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. I was like, girl, you should have had a bigger career. And then the last sample is, this one surprised me quite a bit, Daytime Hustler by Bette Midler. So it's just like four different songs patched together and sung over.
And mostly just...
That sounds sexy. That's like a lot sexy.
The thing is, if you're making a hip-hop song in the 80s and you want people to think that it's sexy, you gotta have something like that on.
Yeah, you can't just say sexy words. You gotta make sexy sounds. It's like sex onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
Will you play the first sample again?
The Ball and Jack one?
Yeah. My favorite part about this sample... Is the oohs and the ahs in the background?
Mm-hmm.
I had always thought that was yet another layer that was added.
Same.
Besides that, there's but that's just some dude in the studio off mic.
Same thing with the Scorpio break. When the bongos come in, I was just like, that's a different song entirely.
Right.
Nope, same song.
Same song.
Yeah, and that Ball and Jack one is from 1970, so I'm thinking that probably was on just the same track.
Yeah.
There was literally a guy in the background of the room going,
I never think about how close to, like, it's... These samples being, like, from 1970, what, you said, 9?
No, Ball and Jack's 1970.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, I thought you said 79. I was like, a 10-year-ago sample is, like, if I made a song right now.
19-year sample.
That makes more sense.
Isn't that wild, though?
Yeah.
Like, who found that? I'm impressed.
Just crate digging, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, last thing I'll say, and this isn't really relevant. It just tickled me. Okay, Young says in an interview with Rolling Stones, the question was, what's your favorite story about the song's legacy? Because I don't know if you're aware, but the song's been placed in everything ever. He says, I will preface this by saying I'm a lifelong Democrat, but pre-9/11 in 2001, Bush was taking a lot of vacations down to the ranch. And the press secretary at that time, Ari Fleischer, got drunk at a party at the ranch and did bust a move on karaoke.
Oh my God.
They said he was actually really good and it made U.S. News and World Report.
TMZ, find that video.
I
need to see this video.
Can you imagine doing karaoke at Bush's resort?
Everything about that sounds terrible.
It sounds awful to be there until that moment happens. And I'm like, okay, for these 4 minutes, I'm happy and I need to leave now.
I just love the idea of, like, I'm making assumptions here, but this man, I can't guess, has a lot of feel for the rhythm of this tune.
Oh, probably not.
I would love to see him sing this and try to make it his own. I'm curious, how did he do it? Did he, like, ad-lib a little, you think?
I am just seeing, like, the beat come on, and, like, that move where he, like, takes off his jacket, and he's very sweaty, and if he kind of loosens the tie, he's just kind of like, this here's a tale for all the fellas trying to do what those ladies tell us.
And then the guy's like, woo, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the laundry.
George Bush was like, oh, there he goes, Ari.
Let me paint you. Anyways.
That basically is the CJ Jackal story.
Yes.
Is this a West Wing reference? West Wing,
yeah.
It's the only West Wing reference I know.
Yeah. You also do a West Wing podcast.
Yeah. And in that show, at one point, CJ Craig, who's played by Allison Janney,
right,
lip syncs to a Ronnie Jordan song called The Jackal. Anyway, Ari Fleischer being the press secretary for Bush doing this. This is as close to a real life
version. Do you think that's that's probably not what it's based on?
That you're here to, yes, for that, to notice that.
Do you know if there is something that is based on? Because I could totally believe that Aaron Sorkin heard this story and was like, well, I'm going to.
Actually, it was just based on Allison Janney.
Oh, okay.
They used to have really long shoot days, and on Fridays, they used to call their Friday shoot days Fratterday, because they'd start in the afternoon and they'd go until basically Saturday morning.
Oh, wow.
And when people weren't on set, they just would hang out in the trailers. And Allison Janney's trailer, for some reason, was like the party trailer.
And, I can see that.
That makes sense.
And apparently this was a thing that she used to do. She would lip sync to this song, The Jackal. It was just some weird thing.
That is so funny.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And then Aaron Sorkin found out about it and went to her trailer and saw her doing that in front of a bunch of people. And he was like, I'm going to write this into to an episode.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. I wish she would do like lip sync battle or something. Just really bring it full circle.
Yeah. She should.
It sounds like she has the gift.
Maybe she has done lip sync battle. We just don't know.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not up to date on lip sync battle.
No,
I feel like I would know too.
Janny RSS feed going. It does not appear to me.
I basically do every time anything even remotely West Wing related is mentioned anywhere in the news, people tweet it at me. I'm sure you get the same thing about Gilmore Girls. Yeah.
I mostly get clips of people wanting me to talk about edging more.
Right.
Calling me Little Miss Snail Trail.
Do you want to talk about edging right now?
No.
You got nothing to say about edging?
Nah.
Okay.
I'll save it for later.
Okay, that's disgusting.
It's an edging joke. Thanks.
Oh, man.
Close to the edge.
Ah, you made a song for it.
You sure did.
Wow. I haven't listened to every episode of this podcast, but I have listened to a few, and I have heard you talking about edging.
Every episode.
And I didn't know that came up every episode.
You get to witness it. How does it feel? Delayed gratification. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to make you wait for it.
I'm on the edge.
Should we get to the song?
Let's get into it.
First clip.
Bust it.
I love that the beginning is just the song with the busted on top of it.
Those drums are so loud.
Yeah. I also love the weird, like, that comes in, like, every so often.
Like a person in the background?
Yeah, but it's, like, a very short scream. Like a sting.
Personally, I think the background, like, yelling makes it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's why I can't believe that was just
a sample.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a little disappointed.
Ball and Jack deserves more credit for that's just for what this song is and how much of, like, party anthem it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also wild how much this holds up.
Because,
like, as much as we've all heard this song, if this comes on at a party, it still bangs.
Absolutely. As long as you don't
listen
to the lyrics.
But it's been out for 29 years.
Is that good?
That's wild.
But the thing that's so wonderful about sampling is that you can take that little moment where that scream pokes out. You know, in the original song, that moment happens and then it moves on.
Yeah.
But someone, you know, can take that bit and say, that's the best part. I'm going to make a 3-minute song where you hear that over and over and
exactly.
over again. And they're right.
You know, they heard it and they were right about it. Mm-hmm. It works. It makes me want to dance.
Yep.
I do. I want to bust a move, and all he's told me so far is bust it. I also want to say I did Google Ghostbusters just to see the timelines. Again, yeah. I wasn't alive yet.
It's before, right?
Ghostbusters came out like 5 years earlier.
Yeah.
Busting was probably made a mashup of this already.
Busting makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Bust a move.
It's probably in some Neil Cicierega mashup.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
We didn't research it.
And I refuse to.
This here's a jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get females get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter.
Oh, so much to unpack.
It just starts so strong. He tells you right out the gate, this is what's going to happen. This is for you, men.
Yes.
Trying to get with girls? here come the tips.
Trying to do what those ladies tell us, which is, it doesn't feel like any part of this song is about what ladies tell you to do.
I think it's maybe more like what Marie Claire tells you women want.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm trying to understand.
She makes pot pies, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The crossover we deserve.
No, she came up with the cure for, I couldn't think of what Marie Curie did.
She discovered radium.
That's what it is.
What? Is that real?
Marie Curie.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you the name of that off the top of my head. Radium? How do you remember that? You're one of those smarts, aren't you?
I mean, hey, get out of here. This podcast is for jocks only.
Don't call me a jock, man.
Okay, fine. This podcast is for one jock only.
And then one other who didn't belong in any cliques.
One miscellaneous.
Okay, so he said, this here's a jam for all the fellas. Trying to do what these ladies tell us. Got shut down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get. Females get jealous.
I have a problem with the overzealous line because this entire song is about him not being overzealous.
Right. Right. So I think he's assuming coming into the song, that's what your problem is. Here's the tips I'm about to give you. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body. Little redundant. I kind of put that together when he said scantily clad.
Also, the okay, smarty is like...
That's one of my favorite parts.
Okay, smarty. It feels like it's clearly sarcastic, but...
It also just stands out so hard.
Yeah.
Okay, smarty, go to a party.
Girls are scantily clad and showing body.
Body doesn't rhyme with party.
No, it doesn't. The thing is, in hip-hop, everything rhymes if you're willing to, like, loosen your voice a little bit.
And I do really like his voice.
Same.
I don't know what to call him. Am I calling him MC?
Well, you did call him Young before, which was a little over-familiar.
That's what I thought, but that's what the article said I was reading.
Well, his last name is Marvin Young.
Should we call him Marvin?
I think we call him Young MC.
Young MC.
We call him Young MC, or MC, or Marv.
Young MC.
In 29 years, I've only ever thought of him as Young MC.
Together. Yes, it really threw me off when that article said Young. I know you're saying his real name, but that's not.
It just feels like it's like if we were talking to Lil Wayne and we're just like, okay, so Lil, do you think that.
Okay, a chick walks by, you wish you could sex her.
That's not a verb.
Ooh, if all I could do to sex her. Yeah, not a verb.
Also.
But. At the time, did you two know Color Me Bad?
Yeah.
I Want to Sex You Up.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So there were some precedents for...
It was probably before.
Okay, so I have to assume then in the 80s we were saying bust it a lot. Bust, we were using that as a verb a lot.
Actually, I Want to Sex You Up came out after, I think.
Oh, was it 90s track?
I think that was in 1991.
Mm. Don't fact check. No, we don't do
that. We don't do fact checking.
We don't do that.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
Who cares? We're just here to laugh.
Then let's just pretend I was right about radio.
But you're standing on the wall like you was Poindexter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is like, is this, I might actually fact check. Is Poindexter as like a reference to a certain thing or is it just like known? Okay.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, okay.
Or I think originally Felix the Cat. I could be wrong about that. It's originally a cartoon from a long time ago and then Revenge of the Nerds again. I think it kind of just became a known term for nerd at that point in pop culture. But I'm confused because he started the song saying, don't be overzealous. And now he's saying, you're not doing enough.
Yeah. You got to find the middle ground of zeal.
Also, why would girls be jealous if you play it hard to get?
I think maybe he's convoluting hard to get and like flirt with other girls to make her jealous.
Yeah.
Those are two different games, guys.
Oh, I see. So in one line, he gives us too much information. In the next line, he's not giving us quite enough.
Yeah. Correct. He's got to find that happy little medium.
This is the duality of Young MC.
I also appreciate that each verse is going to be about a different person, which at first very much confused me. I was like, I can't get a grip on who this man is he's describing.
It also, like, we'll get to it, but it does feel like each of these verses is like, oh, well, that didn't work. And then the next one's like, this might work. And the last one is like, this does work. Like, it's just sort of three different scenarios where it's kind of like, it feels like busting moves sometimes doesn't work.
These are three short Grables about busting moves.
Well.
It's kind of like a choose your own adventure song, honestly.
Yes.
Okay, so what does he say next?
Next day's function, high class luncheon. Food is served in your stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much you nearly split your pants. A girl starts talking, guys start gawking, sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she wanna dance because she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
Fatso.
So one of the reasons why I appreciated this song is because I was a nerd. and you know, I felt like he was speaking to me. You know, because the okay smarty I think is actually a great line because you know, you're a nerd. you think you're smart, but obviously you're so dumb about things like girls.
Yeah.
Social cues.
Yeah. And so this was a song for all of the misfits.
Yeah.
You know, for all the people who had no idea how to speak to a girl.
Yeah, he's telling you how.
All the misfits.
And also, you know, ribbing us a little bit. It's like, oh, that's true.
But that's like what a friend does. Yeah. I feel like this song almost gives you the illusion of friendship.
Absolutely.
Without needing to actually make a friend.
It's my pal, Young MC.
Yeah, I really felt that way. You know, Young MC also had another song called The Principal's Office. I'm off to the principal's office.
That was
his
follow-up hit, right?
Yeah, and so these two in succession really made you feel bonded to him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, off to the principal's office, it was like he wrote the song for people in middle school.
Yeah, going to the principal's office.
Yeah.
As we all did.
Of course.
Nah, you didn't. You were a jock.
Yeah, I mean, well, I got sent to the principal's office for beating up nerds.
Right, or playing with too much skin.
Exactly. Slamming lockers too loud. Can't control it. It's my strength.
Okay, so... I'm so sorry. These lyrics are just so funny. Next day's function. High class luncheon. Already, I don't know what that is.
What
is that?
I just love the idea that it's like, well, you're going to a high class luncheon. So then he goes on to say, music comes on, people start to dance. So it's like, not really that high class.
Well, I also Googled high class luncheon, and the only thing that came up was this song.
Really?
I feel like I've never heard of this.
I just assume that's any sort of fancy luncheon.
Ari Fleischer only goes to high class luncheons.
That's how he related to this song.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the type, right?
Like, this is me.
But, like, I don't feel like you stone cold munch at a high class lunch.
Absolutely not. Nah. Unless you're starved.
No, stone cold munching is reserved for, like, buffets at Sizzler.
Yes.
When you're very stoned.
I could see a buffet at the high class luncheon. I could not see dancing, though.
Also, what were they dancing to? Like, do 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 do.
Yeah. Come on, Fatso, and just futz. Why did I switch those? Come on, Fatso, and just butts a move. Butts a move.
Butts a move.
I'm not correcting it. I tried it twice, Miel, and that's all I've got.
Also, what the fuck is Stone Cold munching? Is that like how Stone Cold Steve Austin eats?
Yes. That's what you do at Cold
you just
Stone
pile
Creamery.
Drive the cottage cheese and cantaloupe.
Yes.
Okay. Sure. That's what I thought it was. Great. Food is served. Okay. Music comes on. People start to dance. And now I'm just imagining a scene from Footloose in like a cafeteria.
This is exactly that.
Has that ever happened to you? You're eating lunch and the music comes on. You're like, oh, I can't resist.
All the highest class luncheons all happen in cafeterias.
Right? And they have like a tablecloth though, so it's fancy. Or maybe it's just dorm at USC. Do they do music dances there?
Music over dances?
I have probably a lot of friends. Lunch. You guys, I go to parties all the time.
In my head, I'm imagining like, it's not really a high class luncheon, but it's like a charity thing. So they're just
absolutely
like,
well, the only high class, anything approaching a high class luncheon that I've ever been to, it has been a charity thing.
Right. Or else it's weird.
I once went to a luncheon in Washington, D.C. that was a celebration of Bill Clinton.
Wow.
And it was in this, it was in like a museum, I think. I think it was in a museum and they had reserved some floor and there was a little stage and people spoke. Bill Clinton wasn't actually there.
What?
It was just in his honor?
It was just in
was
his honor.
Was there like a big framed picture you could kiss?
There was some stuff, you know, there was like memorabilia, but it was a high class luncheon. This is the closest thing I would say to a high class luncheon that I've been to.
What was the point of it?
Letting him know he's celebrated.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
So don't forget, let's have a party for him.
It was around the 2016 DNC, so there was a lot of Clinton, you know,
right.
Love in the air. They were about to nominate.
In my
Hillary,
head, I just was kind of like, I don't know, while he was president, I presume, but now that's crazier.
Yes.
Wait, how old do you think Rishi is?
I don't know. Maybe he went like as a kid with his parents. John Mulaney has a joke about going to a Bill Clinton fundraiser.
True, but then you ate so much, you nearly split your pants. Me, literally me. Am
Who
I right?
Can't relate.
Have you ever been to a buffet and not overeaten?
Oh, nah. No.
Only
but
God
I,
knows what that's
I've never
like.
Split my pants.
Oh, come on.
I have from split eating? My pants. Not from eating.
No.
From
well,
having
I mean,
pants that were too tight.
Sure, yes.
But yeah. Hey, in a way,
yeah.
That is from eating.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Question is, how did you cover it? Or did you own it?
I
you gotta own it.
What did I mean, it was terrible. It was a music video shoot.
Oh, no.
For my band.
Oh, no.
And I think I just had to deal with it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was pretty bad though. I mean, everybody heard it.
That's the worst part. You should have to go. Oh, can you see my butt? Can you see my whole butt?
It was pretty bad.
As long as it wasn't like Lenny Kravitz, I think you're fine.
Oh yeah.
I think we've set the bar very high.
Oh yeah. No. We weren't in chaps.
Which I also think he should have just owned. Just keep playing dick out.
I'm going to power move.
Yeah.
Full dick invisibility.
I'm just going like, I planned this. American woman!
High visibility day, Cole. Okay. A girl starts walking. Guys start gawking. So you know she's hot. Although, again, in a luncheon, okay, it's fine. Why is she walking? She should be eating. Girl, get some lunch.
Yeah, maybe she's walking from the table where she got that lunch.
Except the next line is sits down next to you and starts talking.
So she's not eating at all.
She skipped lunch to hit on a dude. She's at a plan for her lunch hour. I don't know if I like it or if I think this really happened to anybody.
I love that she's making the move. I'm like, wow, you're empowered. I love that.
Yeah, but I'm also trying to imagine someone being like, yo, I'm at this luncheon to get some dick. Let's dance.
Look, you never know where you're going to get dick. Sometimes dick is just the side quest.
True. And the guys are just standing there with no other operative other than to be like, the dick? No. The dick? No. The
maybe dick. Maybe she's super into dudes who munch.
True, that is true.
She sees a Stone Cold muncher and she's like,
ooh, what else can he munch? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just met you. She sits down next to you and starts talking. Okay, sure. In what world? It's fine. Says she wants to dance because she likes to groove.
Oh, hello. I like to groove.
I would like to dance because I like to groove. Also, yeah. Are you finished with that cookie?
I am just realizing she's just like saying, I want to dance twice.
Right. I would love to try this, to go to a bar, find some man by himself, just eating some bar peanuts and be like, I would like to dance because I love to groove. See what happens.
It's got to be a high class function.
Does it?
Yeah.
Again, I have to just give a note of appreciation for how explicit the instruction is, you know, because it feels like for someone who'd never, you know, talked to a girl or been to a high class luncheon, but like this would be the kind of paralyzing moment that I'd both wanted and wouldn't know what to do with.
Right.
You expect, yeah, you girls will come talk to me.
That's the dream.
He's lying to you though. And he's like preparing you for a moment that's not going to happen.
It's exactly, yeah. But this is how it was going to play out in my mind. This is exactly how I imagine it. I'll be at this ballroom. Bill Clinton will be there. I'll be eating a lot of food. A beautiful girl is going to come and sit down next to me.
Yep.
My real moment to shine is what I do next after the beautiful girl has come and sat down and asked me to dance. Because I could still blow it. That's at that true. Time, I might still just say
what I will say
nothing.
Is that even if you do come on Fatso and just bust a move, I would say the hardest part is yet to come.
True.
I don't think that, hey, we danced together, this is sign, seal, delivered. That's not really how it works in my experience.
It's a big step, though.
Dancing together?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, in the sense of like it's a shared moment of chemistry where I feel like after that you have to still make a further move.
Here's
but it's
what I'm
like... going
to say. I've danced with so many people and I don't know any of them.
Well, sure. But I'm saying like in the moment, a stranger who you don't dance with versus a stranger you have danced with.
I don't know. It's dark in those rooms. I don't know who danced
Not
with me.
Not in a high class luncheon. It's light as hell.
Yeah. That is a good
point. It is 10 a.m. in the morning.
That's an early lunch. That's a brunchin'.
Correct.
Right, it was they calling it brunch.
Yes.
Do they have brunch in the 80s?
I think so.
Yeah,
brunch was invented in like the 1920s.
Yes.
Brunch was invented in the 1920s. Sure, yeah.
They were like, I'm sick of having two meals.
Everyone's dying from the Depression. Let's make up a new meal.
With everything that I learned about food, it might have come from the Depression. Them being like, we can't have two meals a day. We'll just combine these into one.
I think it's from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, brunch?
Yeah.
I believe that also.
I'm kidding.
Look, the only two things that anything in white culture have come from is the Depression or Lord of the Rings. So it's one of the two.
Drag me. Okay. Just bust a move.
Well, I also love that the eating so much you nearly split your pants doesn't really factor into this.
Uh-huh. Because his reservation is, oh, I don't know, I'm feeling a little bit burpy.
Is it? It's kind of not mentioned at all.
I think
all.
It's implied.
Okay.
Like any good writing.
Right.
Like
it's what's not there.
It's figuring it out for yourself.
Yeah, it's jazz. It's all the lyrics you don't read.
There's just so many reasons not to bust a move.
That's true.
You're going to fart.
Yeah.
Barf.
You're going to split your pants.
You're going to split your pants. She's going to see your butt.
But come on, Fatso, just bust the move.
Despite all of those obstacles.
My question also is, what is the move?
I was just about to say.
What is the move? Is it, what was the trendy dance move at the time?
The Macarena.
No, this is pre-Macarena, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well,
you were alive. Authority figure.
Bust move is, it's abstract. Really, the song could have been called Carpe Diem.
Oh, true,
That's
true, true.
Come on, Fatso, and just Carpe Diem. Mm-hmm.
If you want it, go take it. I like to think it's that, I don't even know the name of it, the chicken wing, right?
Oh, the one where
you grab your leg and you yank it behind your body as you fold your arm in back and forth.
Could be that.
Is that called the what was that one called?
Is that a dance move?
Oh my god!
It feels like the one arm scissor or something.
What? You're like.
Oh.
What's this called?
Did you just hurt yourself?
Of course I did. I'm 29. I don't do that anymore. My body hurts all the time.
I don't know what that's called.
Yeah, it's got a name.
It's something out of the Kid and Play playbook.
Yes. If the ultimate bust move is that dance from House Party where you have a friend and you do the thing where you kick forward and then go back and then you do the little swing around with your legs.
That's what this lady wants to do.
Sure.
She does. She's looking at him. She's like, yeah, you seen Borat yet? Has it come out?
It's like, so there's this movie that comes out in a few decades. It's called Borat. And no. I would, if a lady come up to me and was just like, so I'm going to be a kid, you're going to be playing. I'd be like, yes, let's do this.
I'm so happy that you know House Party.
Of course I know House Party.
Do you know the name of House Party 2, the subtitled House Party 2?
I do not.
Pajama Jammy Jam?
Pajama Jammy Jam?
Oh my god!
That's beautiful.
It is.
The best three words I've ever heard put together.
Aren't there like also five House Party movies or something?
There are more than two. It really should have stopped at two. Mm. But House Party 2, Pajama Jammy Jam is...
Once you got a hit, you don't stop.
Yeah, no, you can't top Pajama Jammy Jam.
That's very true.
There was a time when sequels were really great. How about Breakin'? Do you know Breakin'?
Oh yeah, and Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo?
There you go.
Yeah.
Brink?
Brink! Soul Skaters Forever! No sequel.
Tight, yeah, that's... about rollerblading.
I think, what's that move where it's the, like, you do the arm thing? Yeah, the wave, but with your arms. But it's not, like, in a crowd. It's literally just, like...
No, I think that is literally called a wave.
Really?
How else do you do a wave?
The wave, I feel like, is the thing at sporting events where you stand up in succession and do the arm thing.
Well, that's a multi-person wave. You're doing the independent solo operator wave.
Okay, the solo wave.
The wave LLC.
Ah.
I'm really sorry about this.
No,
it's so
I love wave LLC.
Okay, so now he tells us to bust a move.
You're on a mission and you're wishing someone could cure your lonely condition. Looking for love in all the wrong places. No fine girls, just ugly faces.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you can't go, so you're a fatso and then just be like, and all these other girls are ugly and that's a problem.
Also, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
Every guy he's described so far is horrible. You're wishing someone would save you from your lonely condition? Is he Rapunzel? What's the problem?
This is a very incel line.
Oh, it is. It's so sad how many songs remind me of incels now. Oh.
Yeah.
In sixth grade, I was an incel.
No, you weren't. No. You can't be an incel in sixth grade.
Just like, I was.
Ugh, I'm celibate and not by choice. When's lunch?
I mean, I feel like that's like, maybe you can't find weed, so you're like, I'm straight edge.
Yeah.
No one will sell me weed. I guess I'm straight edge now. Okay, you're on a mission and you're wishing someone could cure your lonely condition. So this is a second person, I presume.
Yeah.
And the first guy who had the girl ask if you want to dance at the luncheon.
Things went great.
Just up to us to decide what happened there.
All right, so we're on Grable number two.
Yes.
Yep, we've moved on. Looking for love in all the wrong places.
No fine girls. Just ugly faces.
So is the places then where the ugly girls hang out or that he's judging them by their faces? You know, what does he mean by places?
Well, I think it's both.
Is he trying to teach us a lesson? Don't look at the skin. Look inside the girl.
That is a very generous reading.
No, I don't think that's what he means.
But I think, he's just saying all these other luncheon girls are ugly.
Right. Although he's not at luncheon.
We're not
now.
At luncheon now. Now right. he's saying stop going to, you know,
the arcade. Where is he going to pick up girls?
Yeah, the library. Yeah.
Your family reunions.
Oh boy.
He's a nerd, and so he's in a library, and he's like, "You have to go somewhere else."
Yeah.
Yeah, because only the uggos hang out in the library.
Readings for ugly people. You got to go to somewhere that hot people hang out, like I don't know, the skate park.
Did you hear what you just said?
I said readings for ugly people?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Look, and I stand by it. I've never read a thing in my life. As a jock, I just...
Right, you're just super, super hot jock.
I don't even know what brand footballs I use because I refuse to read them.
Do you know where my favorite place was in sixth grade?
What?
The library.
No.
It's true.
It was under your own blankets.
I loved the library so much.
Why? Because it smelled
Still
good?
Still do.
Because it was where your friends
School
lived.
School libraries were the best.
Because there was books. No, I liked the town library.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Oof. Into the fucking Dewey Decimal System.
I was super into it.
Did you understand it? Because I still don't.
What's to understand?
I don't know how it works.
I feel like it's just kind of like every number is assigned to a category.
No, that's not how my brain works. Numbers and letters aren't the same.
Correct. Yeah, no.
also haven't revisited it since I was about 8 years old. So
I, every so often, will go to the library over on Hillhurst in Los Feliz, and I walk in. It's a great library, but I immediately feel like I'm thrown back into school, and I'm just kind of like, I can't spend too much time here. I feel very out of place.
I would love to use this opportunity to shout out libraries, actually.
Big ups to the library system.
People buy in books. What are you doing?
What are you? Stop spending money on books.
You literally have a library, and it probably needs your patronage.
And also, another great thing you learn from libraries are audiobooks and films.
It's true.
All sorts of mediums available at library.
Yeah, and a lot of great volunteers, a.k.a. new friends.
Yes, that's right.
And the public library in L.A., the transfer system is awesome. They don't have the book that you're looking for at your branch. Get it from somewhere else.
That's right.
And they'll send it to your branch, and then you get an email. It's so good.
Aren't there discounts with the library card too?
Probably.
I vaguely remember that being true, but again, don't fact check me.
From frustration, first inclination is to become a monk and leave the situation. But every dark tunnel has a light of hope, so don't hang yourself with a celibate rope.
What?
From frustration, your first inclination.
I saw a couple ugly girls, and it scarred me so much, I had to become a monk.
I'm going to Tibet. Fuck this.
I mean, I can relate.
Same. No, I don't love it. When you look in the mirror, sometimes you're just like, I gotta go.
Yeah, your day is going great, and then you catch a mirror, and you're like, oh, fuck.
It's monk time.
It's time to be a monk, baby, and not like the fun one, the show you used to watch.
That's correct. Yes, used to.
The Tony Shalhoub show.
That's the only fun monk.
Nuh-uh.
Okay, fine. There are multiple fun monks.
Yeah, the Dalai Lama looks hella fun.
Thelonious.
Nice. Music. Hey, music. Am I right, Rishi? Music. Music.
Bring it back to the song.
Music. Okay. But every dark tunnel has a light of hope. So don't hang yourself with a celibate rope.
A light of hope? Oh my gosh. I thought it was light I hope this whole time.
I could be wrong. We've had problems with lyrics before.
If it's light I hope, that's just kind of like a, you know, everything will be okay. Maybe.
I thought.
That's so funny.
I thought that, you know, he's using you maybe a little bit to project onto himself, and so he's looking in the mirror. The you that he's talking to, he's starting with the man in the mirror.
I'm imagining. Sorry, continue.
No, that's really. And so when he says, "But every dark tunnel has a light," I hope. I thought he was addressing himself. You know, and then when he continues on, so don't hang yourself. He's talking to himself.
Yeah,
that was such a sweeter read than what these lyrics say.
But also kind of an upsetting read if he's like, "I'm using this song to talk to myself."
I mean, but he's in college.
That's true.
Can you imagine writing a song in college that became like what you were known for your whole life?
That's true.
That's fucking wild.
I also
hate myself.
Because you mentioned it as him being like your best friend through school, I do imagine it's like one day you have an imaginary friend that pops up and he's just teaching you how to be cool to get girls.
That's really what my relationship with this. I mean, not just mine. I feel like other people. For I'm just projecting, but I thought that's how everyone related to this song.
I feel like that is.
I think it is. I mean, I don't know personally because I didn't care at all about attracting other people in school. But only because I gave up that hope.
So don't hang yourself with the celibate rope.
The celibate rope, by the way, that was a lyric that totally evaded me and I think everyone else that I was in school with. Nobody knew what he was saying. I think we at the time thought he was, the best we could figure out was that he was saying, don't hang yourself with a cellophane rope.
Oh my God. You just changed the words.
I don't know. That's the closest thing to a real word that I can figure out from those sounds. There was no internet to look things up.
That's true.
Okay, what genius guesses, and I'm not sure there is like a source on this, is that the celibate rope refers to the prayer ropes that monks carry to help them count the many daily recitations of the Jesus prayer.
That is a deep reference if it's true.
I mean, he could just be thinking like those ropes they carry around.
I just, in my head, I'm just like, so don't hang yourself with a rope because of celibacy.
Right. Yeah. Just he's just giving some poetic, imbuing the rope with some poetry.
Yeah.
The rope also hasn't had sex.
Yeah. Rope is trying to.
It's a virgin rope.
Rope's trying to get in that knot.
Is that how ropes have sex?
Oh, yeah.
But you have to tie two ropes together. Otherwise, it's just masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So like sailor's knots, that's just jerking off.
Every time you put on a pair of shoes, they're fucking.
No, they're having sex with themselves. You don't tie your shoes together.
Yeah, you do.
No,
oh,
you
my
do
God,
not.
That is just one string.
Yeah. Ooh. You're jerking your shoes off every time you tie your shoes.
Ew. Heathens.
You're going to trip on those later, you know.
Oh, for sure. It's worth the bit.
I'm curious if that's actually what he meant or not, but I don't know that we'll ever know.
We should call him later and ask.
Young MC?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure he'd love to talk about this song some more.
New movie showing, so you're going. Good Kelly.
less about the five you're blowing. Theater gets dark just to start the show. Then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. She's dressed in a yellow. She says, hello, come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the moves.
It's just drums and bass.
Yeah.
It's crazy that Flea just got paid for a day rate. He wrote this.
Yes.
He wrote this.
He made this
song.
What it is.
Like, he like must have rapped on top of it.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true, actually. He what, definitely
Flea rapping?
Do you think they laid the bass in first?
I feel like they had the sample tracks, and they were like, we need something to make it, like, pop more when you're rapping over it. And then Flea was like, well, I'll play bass.
Do you think that Flea taped his bass first, or that Young MC did his rapping first? Which one did they have first?
I bet they had the bass first.
So then he wrote the song.
Yeah.
This line, this set of lines also has a controversial lyric, which I didn't think was controversial until one time my best friend in school, he had a cool aunt, like the cool young aunt, and she used to take us to go, you know, go to the store where we would buy comics and the other store where we'd go buy CDs. We'd go to Boston, which was, you know,
we'd go to Boston,
go to Cambridge, and she would take us. And so we played this song. Again, it's a song that we could play in front of older people. But she heard that line and she said, what?
What?
I mean, she was kind of shocked, but at the same time, she was like, she's like, you can't say that. I said, what? The line about the movie. Will you read?
Yeah, he says, new movie's showing, so you're going. Could care less about the five you're blowing.
And she thought he said, could care less about the fart you're blowing.
That's what offended her.
Could care less about the fart you're blowing.
Wait, so she was like, how dare you fart in a movie theater?
She's like, this is inappropriate.
I thought you were going to say that she was commenting on the fact that he said could care less and not
couldn't
care less.
Oh, that makes me mad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that irritates me.
It gets me, too. I'm always just like, ugh.
Let's set the record straight. Couldn't.
Could not care less.
Because if you could care less, then that means you do care.
Yeah, you want that five that you're blowing.
On the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Movies only cost $5 in 1989.
And a fart.
You had to rip one on the way in. Lift a leg and everything.
If you don't eat properly before you go to the movies, you're shit out of luck.
Well, and also out of shit.
Right.
Just farts.
You look out of shit.
Okay. Then he says, theater gets dark just to start the show. Yep, that's how movie theaters work. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. That's confusing me that you'd spot her after the lights went out.
Yeah.
But okay. What's she dressed in? Oh, I'll tell you. She's dressed in yellow.
She says hello.
Don't try to breeze over the fact that she's dressed in yellow.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a lady dressed in yellow more than, I don't know, 10 times in her whole life?
Yes.
It's a strong color choice that I don't see people wear that often.
Well, that's why she's so easy to spot in the row.
Yeah, because she looks like Curious George's dad.
Yes.
In my mind, she's got a big hat and everything.
Curious Georgina.
What does he have a name?
The zookeeper guy?
Is his name Zookeeper?
No, I don't think he has a name. He's the man in the yellow hat.
Man in the yellow hat. Okay, so the man in the yellow hat, but the lady version. She says, hello, come sit next to me, you fine fellow. Another situation that would never happen.
If anyone said those words to me in a dark movie theater, I'd be like, you're going to murder me. I'm moving two rows back.
But if she was a little hottie in yellow?
That's why I think, I'm like, this is some sort of weird scenario where I do come move next to you, and then someone comes and pops up behind
us. Yeah, she's bait for like a cult sacrifice situation.
I will never fall for it.
Honey trap.
Yes, honey trap.
It is. Mm. Because why else would she just wait until it gets dark in the movie and then go, hello, come sit next to me, you fine fella. She also sounds 90 by the way he's making her talk, which also she could be. He didn't say she was young.
That's very true.
This he's could be an old woman.
You run over there without a second to lose, and what comes next? Hey, bust a move.
So now I'm confused about what bust a move means.
You got to dance right there in the theater.
Or does he mean like...
like hit on her?
Like sex.
I don't think he's saying, hey, she said hello and come sit next to me. It's time to get up on that.
I don't know what bust the move means in this context.
No, I think you have to go back to carpe diem. He's saying seize the opportunity.
Do something.
There's an opening here. Sit next to her. Make the best of it.
That's too general of advice, though.
I feel like it's like make a move.
Yeah, but what's the fucking move? That if you're trying to advise nerdy kids who don't know what to do with women... and you just say, just do something.
Well, it's kind of like when a wise man in a movie just kind of, they're like, what do I do next? He's like, I've given you all the advice I can. From now on, what you do is
your... Oh, so now he's fucking Gandalf?
Yes. I told you, the only two sources of anything.
Yeah.
Depression or Lord of the Rings.
I think he should have said, put your arm around her or...
That doesn't rhyme.
offer, get her number. Just give me a couple specifics so that I'm like, okay, I feel confident in this situation should it ever happen to me.
Yes.
Should a 90-year-old woman charge me in the theater when we're both there alone as we go mm-hmm. and says, hello, come sit next to me, you fine fellow. I could say, okay, I know what to do. And that is I offer you $2 and I kiss you on the mouth with my mouth closed.
Oh, don't do that.
I don't know. Maybe if that was what he wrote about.
That'd be weird as fuck. If you saw someone.
It's more specific.
It is more specific, but I think it is a mark against you.
I don't know. If someone said, can I give you $2, I might kiss him.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean,
you're putting that offer out there. No, I would not.
Yeah, I might. It might.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably would have to be like 13 in this scenario and not have any money.
Yeah.
This is getting worse and worse.
I'm done talking.
This is a like taxi driver scenario. Do we need to save you from something?
Nah, I've seen Vertigo.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about Lou's move?
Well, Lou's move?
Yeah.
Rhymes, that slant rhyme.
Oh.
Without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, what's the move?
I'm all right with it. I do feel like it could be better, but also, I mean, yellow, hello, come sit next to me, you're fine fellow. I'm just like, you were just, this is not a real scenario.
Yeah, what
I gave
was
up on.
Like, feeling mellow, gotta get grello, should we do a jello, heebie doop nello.
That's even better. Three of those are words, I think.
I would like it more.
And it also seems like the rhyme scheme of this entire song is like rhyme, entire line that rhymes, and then two lines that rhyme on their own. And so those 2 second lines, I'm like, you just did three in a row. You can take it easy on these next two.
Mm-mm. He was trying to cram in as many rhymes as he could. And honestly, he did so many so far. I'm not counting, but if I had to guess, I'd say we're up to about 30,000.
Give or take.
Give or take a couple hundred thousand.
Sure.
And then what happens? So is this the girl singing?
Yeah.
She's really loud in the theater.
I was about to say, don't dance in the theater. Rude as fuck.
So she's just saying, you want it, you got it. He doesn't have to actually do anything because he's already, she's like, if you want it, you can have it.
This is fantasy rock.
It's, again, incel fantasy rock.
Yes. Oh, see, I thought that she was not part of the story. She's part of the, you know, the wisdom.
Mm. Mm.
She's standing next to young MC, you know, encouraging our young incel hero.
Okay,
if you want it, then you got it.
All you have to do
is want it enough.
Seize the day of busting moves.
So she's like Doc McGruff in this scenario.
I don't know who that is.
Isn't that his name? I might have his name wrong.
Well, I know McGruff is the crime dog.
The crime dog.
Ah, yes.
You know, he comes in and he gives you some words of motivation.
You want it? Don't do drugs. Just bust a move.
Yeah, yeah, or I don't know.
Who were you thinking of?
Doc McStuffins?
Doc
Brown?
McStuffins.
Who are you?
I was thinking of the dog. Dog McGruff. Scrooge McDuck.
Okay, we'll never get to the bottom of that.
I think I'm having a stroke. It's
that's fine.
I think it makes more sense that she steps in as another sage.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how I always read
it. Okay, because if she's supposed to be the girl in the song, I have to ask, which girl would this be?
She's and also, like, hey. You want it, you got it. It's just kind of like, you sit next to him if you're just kind of like, it's up to you. Everything's you.
I do not like how general it is, but I do like how just unconditionally supportive that is. You want it, you got it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all you need to hear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hang in there. You want it, you got it.
It's the hang in there cat of rap lines.
In the city, ladies look pretty. Guys tell jokes so they can seem witty. Tell a funny joke just to get some play. Then you try to make a move and she says no way. Girls are faking, goodness saking. They want a man who brings home the bacon. Got no money and you got no car. Then you got no woman and there you are.
Okay, that last rhyme is the one I have a problem with. Just because and there you are is nothing.
You're there. That is where you are.
But it's just kind of like clearly a little thing. He was like, well, I have to rhyme, so and there you are.
Yeah, I think... Let's start at the top of this one. Yeah. In the city, ladies look pretty.
Which answers your previous question of what are these places?
The city is where the ladies are pretty.
Yeah. And the town and the country, ugly.
You know what the guys do in the city, though? They tell jokes. Why, you might ask? So they can seem witty. I don't think I needed that. I think I got it, but okay. Tell a funny joke just to get some play. Really hitting the joke thing again.
I mean, you tell a good joke, she's putty in your hands.
Yeah, this is, he's like, I may be a rapper now, but I will transition to stand-up comedy later. I'm going to set myself up. Then you try to make a move, and she says, no way! I don't think that funny joke thing is working out for you, bud.
This is the same thing that happened in Jesse's Girl, where he's like, I've been funny, I've been cool with the lines.
Again.
Ain't that the way love's supposed to be?
This is like manufacturing men to hate women. I told a joke! why won't you suck my penis?
I don't understand.
I get it.
Gotta be a better joke.
Girls are faking. What? Is that referencing the fact that she didn't like your joke enough to sleep with you?
No, I don't know what that does mean, though.
Oh, wait. I think I maybe do. Well, they're getting to it later. Goodness saken! How do we feel about that?
Not great.
I love it.
Girls are faking. Goodness saken. Like, are they goodness saken?
I think he's trying to say, like, for goodness sake. Sakes? Sake? For goodness sake. I don't, never said this word.
For goodness sake.
For goodness's sake.
Yeah. For goodness sake.
Okay. I think he's just trying to turn that into a rhyme, but I like that.
I dig it too.
It's so creative. I love if you were like, goodness saken. Imagine seeing that conversation. I'd be like, cool, you're tight. They want a man who brings home the bacon. Got no money and you got no car. Then you got no woman and there you are.
That's the formula.
You got... To me, I think it all ties together.
Yeah.
The jokes are not enough. The guys are trying jokes and girls are saying, ugh, goodness sake.
Yeah.
I don't need this. What they really want is a man who brings home the bacon.
Right.
The jokes aren't going to do it for you.
Or I think maybe even, like he says the bacon, but I feel like having no car and no money, I'm a little bit like, I think she wants a man with ambition.
That's true. If you're in the city and you got no money or no car.
What are you doing in the city?
Yeah, get out of the city, man. Unless it's New York, in which case it's like,
public
you need money to publicly transport still.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Want a man who rides transportation. Okay, I'm really good at rapping. And then that's the end of that line?
Yep.
That's where we stopped?
Mm-hmm.
So he's just describing no scrubs.
Correct.
But years before no scrubs.
Yeah, and he's also turning it into, it sort of feels like, instead of being like, I don't want no scrubs, it's girls don't want no scrubs in a way that's kind of like, it's them that's the problem.
The girls are the problem?
Yeah.
I think it's to the man.
It feels like that until the next line.
Some girls are sadistic, materialistic. Looking for a man makes them opportunistic.
The way he's
on the beach perpetrating a chance that other brother with money can be their man. So on the beach you're strolling, real high rolling. Everything you have is yours and not stolen. A girl runs up with something to prove. So don't just stand there and bust the move.
That's some of my favorite... Some of my favorite work on the song.
Yes.
Opportunistic.
Opportunistic. Okay, he said.
It's kind of like an African accent for one word.
Some girls are sadistic.
Materialistic.
Looking for a man makes them opportunistic.
Opportunistic.
That was like...
Wait, opportunistic?
Yeah.
Opportunistic. What do you think he said?
Opportunistic.
What is opportunistic?
Optimistic, but just with a lot of pizzazz.
I was like, that sounds like they want to be an optometrist.
No,
optimistic.
They want a guy who's going to make them feel optimistic about their outlooks.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's why I always loved it, because of the pizzazz that he, and panache that he laid on the word optimistic.
Yeah.
Optimistic. I like that so much better than the opportunistic. Well, can we listen to it again? Maybe sure. Maybe his lyrics are wrong. Maybe he's like optimistic.
Sadistic, materialistic, looking for a man makes them opportunistic.
Oh, it is opportunistic.
Why? Oh. He does sing with like a thick accent for those three words, though.
But I love it. I still love it.
Looking for a man makes them opportunistic.
I'm also curious about sadistic. That feels like a strong word choice.
It rhymes.
Maybe it's pulling back to that woman in the theater that she was trying to find a victim for her cult sacrifice in that theater
that possible.
Night. Possible. Opportunistic.
Oh, I don't like that as much.
I'm so sorry. We're crushing your dreams live on air.
Because opportunistic is, I mean, that's a pejorative word. You don't want someone who's
sure.
an opportunist who's, I mean, that.
Yeah, he's cheating on women a bit.
Makes sense that they would want to feel opportunistic. They might be opportunistic, but you wouldn't say they'd want to be. It's not something you strive towards.
No, I think he's writing this from the perspective of like, I'm just a loser guy and none of these hot girls will fuck me and I don't know why. And then he's like, well, look at the other guys they're choosing from. They're just materialistic and opportunistic and looking for guys that'll pay for their stuff.
I want guys with cars.
Any way to make it not your fault, I feel like, is what he's listing right here. And also, these worms rhyme.
It really does feel like rhyming is like the one thing he's like, this has to be.
I'm going to write the song around the rhymes.
Yes.
And
lying on the beach, perpetrating a tan.
That's my favorite line in the whole fucking song.
Perpetrating a tan, I love.
Because he's like lying, right? That's a double entendre. They're lying on the beach perpetrating a tan.
Possibly.
Also, next time, well, I don't lay out anymore, but when I was a kid, I really wish I had said, I'm perpetrating a tan today. Sorry, my plans today, perpetrating a tan.
I gotta perpetrate this tan real quick.
I gotta perpetrate a tan line.
But why?
Trying to get rid of it.
So that a brother with money can be my man.
Right, because they go, tan lines, no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I only knew at that time the word perpetrate from this song and from Fresh Prince.
It was a cool word to use for a while, huh?
I only knew it for these two songs.
It feels I don't know, in my head I'm like a perpetrator is someone who commits a crime always.
Right.
The perp.
So why is this?
I love that these two songs both used it in...
Words like have weird moments of being in vogue like that, though. Yeah. Like that happens. Now I'm wishing that regulators was perpetrators.
Perpetrators, roll up.
And then he says, "So on the beach,
you're strolling, real high rolling. Everything you have is yours and not stolen."
What? Wait, what did you just say?
On the beach, you're strolling, real high rolling. Everything you have is yours and not stolen.
That sounds like someone that's lying.
Yes, and also it's not really contradictory to got no money and got no car. You can be both of those things and have, like, not stolen anything.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit like you doth protest too much.
Maybe.
My things, they're not stolen. Why would you ask me that? They're not stolen.
I don't know where you, who told you that?
Have you ever described your... possessions is not stolen?
All the time.
Welcome to my house. Everything in here is not stolen. That's a crazy thing to say.
It really is.
Then.
A girl runs up with something to prove. So don't just stand there, bust a move. What does that mean?
What?
Something to prove. And why is she running like, up?
Because she's doing a cartwheel. And she's trying to prove she can do one.
And so don't just stand there, cartwheel back.
Yeah, show her how to do a cartwheel. Finally, a skill you have.
My interpretation of this section is, you know, for once, you're walking down the beach, you actually feel some confidence. You know, you've got some swag, you've got, well, everything is yours. And yeah. And you've got some confidence, you're walking down. And then, you know, of course, I'm imagining it's me. And so, you know, or Young MC, either one of us. But here's some white girl who wants to make her parents mad.
Oh,
and you know
that's
what to do.
Okay, so for you, the something to prove is like the racial incentive.
Yes.
She's like, I'm not like the other girls.
So what comes next? You gotta dance.
Well, I feel like in that scenario, you don't have to do a whole lot.
That's very true.
Because she's not seeing you as a person anyway.
Right. You're just proof.
A girl runs up with something to prove. That's a darker read. I'm surprised that's what you took
darker
from
skinned
it.
Read.
Yes. Hey-o! I wish I had an air horn.
We'll put them in post.
Thank you. So don't just stand there, bust a move. Yeah, I was thinking cartwheels. That's not as nice.
It doesn't have to be a racial thing. Just, you know, just...
you're a
she
bad
wants
boy.
To, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she you got a nose ring. Mad. Maybe you got a tattoo.
There's something about you that she's using to prove to someone
exactly.
else or
and
to
this,
herself.
And this nose ring, legitimately bought.
Ooh, you didn't steal it?
Didn't steal it.
Because if there's one thing you're going to steal, it's a nose ring.
Right.
You may be wondering why I have no car, and it's because I bought this nose ring first.
Yeah, and it was $1,000. I think maybe this is my least favorite verse ending, because I can't relate to it or imagine it. The other ones were like definite pictures.
Different?
Definite. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, definite.
I couldn't decide between definite and definite.
Different.
With definite. Pictures that I can relate to and I can imagine. This one, I'm like, you're on the beach. The one place that, of course, everyone feels the most confident.
Yeah, all the time.
That I'm shaking my head. It's not true.
Hmm.
There's no place I feel less confident than the beach. That's why? Right. Well, I'll tell you why. A, skin cancer. Don't know if I'm going to get it. Don't feel very good about it.
I don't feel unconfident by the threat of skin cancer.
The sun makes me feel very shy.
Mm.
Second thought. Salt water, not great for your hair. Your hair is never going to look good at the beach. That's why you got to wear a hat. But then also, it's breezy at the beach and now your hat's going to fly off. It's kind of a catch-22 of your hair situation. Third reason, probably most obvious, your body.
Yeah.
Your body's out. And now you're like, I did shape my pubes, but I didn't realize I had pubes on my legs. And now those are out.
That's why you need a girl to run up to you with something to prove.
So you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Do you ever wear a shirt when you swim?
No.
That's cool. Do you ever wear a shirt or something?
No, I just leave the shirt on and also don't swim.
That's the way. And then you're like, you know, I get swimmer's rash. mean case of swimmer's ear back from my diving days. Never dove in my life. Yeah, okay, fine. And then let me guess, she's going to tell us, you want it, you got it?
Break it down for me, fellas.
Whoa. Okay.
That is so good.
It's such a good drum break.
So good.
This entire, it also goes on for much longer than you think it would.
Yeah.
What did those fellas just do?
They broke it down for him.
They had sex in the recording studio?
Yeah, sure. Why not? That's how you break it down for them.
Did he watch?
I mean, probably.
Those were sex noises.
It said for him.
Those were sex noises.
That's the Bette Midler of it all.
So wait, that's in Bette Midler's song. Is that a female vocal doing that? But they made it sound like a man for this one?
I don't know they did.
I mean, he said fellas.
Break it down for me, fellas.
The fellas being the drummers.
Yeah.
That's man. That's like a lower register.
It feels like they pitched down the Bette Midler part.
I feel like they're trying to tell us, like, this is the men breathing heavy. But why?
Why?
They're playing the drums so hard?
I never thought of it that way.
And that's all I can hear. Break it down for me, fellas.
I
want to
hear,
like,
the original Bette Midler thing now. Definitely pitched down.
They pitched it way down.
Wow.
I can't help but think he just said fellas. And now we're hearing low-toned breathing. That he's, yes, obviously the drums, but also fuck boys. And we're off.
Now that's fuck boys.
Also, cool. Cool fuck noises.
Yeah, very cool fuck noises.
A very artistic interpretation. Again, this is a very much like a your own adventure story. Yeah. What are they doing?
They're fucking now. But past that, I love where this next verse goes because I think this is the craziest part.
Oh, this is my favorite verse for sure. You gotta end it on a high note.
Yeah.
Your best friend Harry has a brother Larry. In 5 days from now, he's gonna marry. He's hoping you can make it there if you can, cause in the ceremony, you'll be the best man. You say neato, check your libido, and roll to the church in your new tuxedo. The bride walks down just to start the wedding, and there's one more girl you won't be getting.
What a way to think of a bride at a wedding. Just like, one off the list.
The first thing that stands out to me about this is your best friend Harry has a brother Larry. In 5 days from now, he's going to marry. He's hoping you can make it there if you can.
Because?
In the ceremony, you'll be the best man. Why wouldn't Larry's own brother be his best man?
This, I didn't even think about that.
These are the lines. Why? This is why I picked the song.
Oh,
these lines specifically. And why? 5 days from the wedding, do you still not know if you're going to attend? You're the best man. You really better be there.
My thinking is Harry got into some trouble and he's in like jail now and it's just kind of like, I need a filler best man. And it's this dude.
But 5 days out, you don't know if your best man's going to make the wedding.
Yep.
Just hoping you can make it.
What kind of wedding is this going to be? Is it BYOB? Like, this isn't going to go well.
BYOBM.
Bowel movement?
Best man.
Best man, right. Yeah, that makes more sense.
And bowel movement.
That makes more sense. Yeah. I mean, you can't not.
If you've got a fart that you're willing to blow.
Hey-o! Reference to the first verse.
Another air horn. You say neato. Check your libido.
Okay, is that meant to be like carry on?
What?
Check.
Oh, check, I think it's just kind of like, oh, you say sure, and then just be like, all right, I'm not going to try and fuck someone at the wedding.
Okay, this is a little gross. I apologize, but I thought it was like kind of common knowledge that if you're like nervous about like a big moment with the person you're sexually attracted to, that you masturbate before you go out. I figured that's what he meant.
That seems antithetical to me.
Okay, maybe it's not relatable. Maybe it's not relatable. Well, maybe it's just me. I recommend it. I do suggest it. Don't make stupid choices when you're not as horny as you were 3 hours ago.
Sure. It's like how you don't, you eat dinner before you go grocery shopping.
That's what I'm saying. It's exactly the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Highly recommend it. I figured that's what he meant, but then also the check thing, I was like, maybe he put it in a suitcase.
He's like, ooh, I said sure, and then I was like, it's time to get horny at that wedding.
Let me zip my dick off, throw it in this loose suitcase.
I can't participate in this part of the conversation because I haven't updated my interpretation of the lyrics from sixth grade. And in sixth grade, I didn't know what the word libido meant.
Sure.
And so this is like when you turn someone around to look at their face, it's just a blank face.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know. And that, I still don't know what he means there because I never stopped to think about it once I did learn what that word
don't
means.
Don't ruin it for yourself.
You don't even know what it means.
I'm so sorry for corrupting your sixth grade self. I feel so inappropriate now. Oh my God. Okay, so you check your libido, roll to the church in your new tuxedo. Mm. I would like to add that in the music video, he's wearing a tuxedo t-shirt, which I personally don't think that counts as a tuxedo.
Look, you got 5 days. Anything's game.
You can't go get a tuxedo. You're the best man.
Look, if you can get fitted for a nice tuxedo and receive that tuxedo in 5 days, cool.
Yeah, but
he clearly couldn't.
What kind of douchebag do you have to be to not RSVP to a wedding in 5 days where you are the best man and then you roll up in a tuxedo t-shirt?
This feels like Larry's problem, if I'm being real. So I don't put any blame on Mr. MC.
Also, like, is this one of Mr. MC's friends that he's writing to? This is such a specific scenario. Yeah,
I don't think it is real.
That relatable feeling when your best friend's brother is getting married and you're the best man and you gotta go, and then his wife walks down the aisle and you're like, now I can't have sex with her either.
That's true.
That didn't strike you as weird when you were 11 years old.
That's one more girl you won't be getting?
Yeah.
No, I thought that, I was like, yeah, that seems weird. That
I feel like as a kid, you're just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, this is what Julia Roberts movies had taught me.
It's very true. All of these insights are coming with time.
Yeah.
Also, there is like an age where the entire gender that you're attracted to is just one lump.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lump sum. You mm-hmm. can't see individuals. Mm-hmm. You're like, there's a whole sea of fish. I just got to grab one.
Yeah.
Isn't my best friend's wedding sort of the same attitude just from a woman's point of view? Well, there's one more I'm not going to.
I think so.
Get. I don't remember it very well other than. And whenever I wake up, boo, rah, boo. Part that connected with me, of course. The musical moment.
I don't remember that at all.
Rupert Everett, right? That's not his name. Is that his name?
That is his name.
He sings it at the party, and they all sing it together. This could maybe be imagining.
You're asking the wrong person as someone who maybe saw it once.
Yeah, same.
I may have imagined that sequence, but you seem to have a pretty good grasp on the movie's plot for not remembering that moment.
I remember that I felt like Julia Roberts is kind of a villain in it.
I think that she had, even though she's supposed to be the protagonist, with her best friend, that if they weren't married by 40, they were going to marry each other. And then he gets married before, and she's like,
and then she sabotages the wedding.
I don't remember. That's right? Cruel.
Yeah.
That's a cruel movie.
Hmm.
I was too young when I saw that. I don't remember this.
I might be completely misremembering.
Love is crazy, you know? And so I can't really fault Julia for taking a shot.
In summary, the idea of there's one more available bachelorette gone. It doesn't seem like a crazy.
Okay.
I do think it's just revelation. Weird in juxtaposition with this song where it's like, is that your first thought? Or like, at what point is that a thing that crosses your mind? And also, you probably know this woman if you are going to be the best man in this wedding. So to think of it as like, well, one more girl off the table.
I don't think he does know her. I don't think he knows Harry. Or Larry.
He knows Harry really well.
He knows Harry very
well.
But
Larry is just his friend's brother.
Yeah. And their names happen to rhyme. Mm-hmm. Which also in this world, imagine being like, Harry, Larry, come to dinner. Like, that's an insane thing to do to yourself.
That's my mom with Demi and Timmy.
Oh my God, that's right. Your sister's name
is
Timmy.
But they are both shortened versions of longer names, so it's not.
Right.
Although Harold and Lawrence. So yeah, insane.
Right, of course, your real name. Harold.
Right. And my sister's real name, Lawrence.
Lawrence. They really doubled down on dicking her over.
Yeah.
A double dicking, if you will.
If you will.
There's one more girl you won't be getting. That's a really, really bad best man.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing at the altar going, man, should have been me.
Well, he's clearly not the first choice for best man.
Maybe the second best man. What happened to Larry? Why doesn't he have any friends?
I don't know. Larry's, maybe it's the kind of thing where it's like Larry got into this relationship and all of his other friends just sort of fell away and he just feels guilty about it.
Oh, that's probably not a good relationship then.
No, but sometimes it's Larry's
codependent.
Fault.
Yeah. Larry.
I think that's one more girl you won't be getting. It feels like a very small town kind of moment, you know, where you live in a place where the eligible.
Slim pickings.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, yeah, we're all friends. But then you see this girl, and she's like, oh, of the 8 girls my age here, 12.5% of them are now taken.
That is extremely true.
Yeah.
I come from a very small town where I always thought of, like, the sexual relations between us as just musical chairs, genuinely.
Yeah.
You just take your turn, and then it's your friend's turn.
Wow.
And you can't ever talk about it with your friends because it's too raw.
No.
You don't want to know.
Especially when one of you, you know, you got to sit down in musical chairs and when you get kicked out of the circle entirely.
Yeah.
And how so that
then
fits
I moved
in
to LA.
Metaphor.
I'm just kidding.
You find a new circle. Last part.
So you start thinking, then you start clicking. A bridemaid looks and thinks that you're winking. She thinks you're kind of cute, so she winks back. And now you're feeling really firm because the girl is stacked. Reception's jumping, bass is pumping. Look at the girl and your heart starts thumping. Says she want to dance to a different group. Now you don't want to do G-Bust the move.
Ooh, what the fuck? Just happened at this wedding.
So many of these events are just kind of like, you go so long just thinking you're never going to fall in love, and then you just do.
Well, he didn't say love.
That's very true.
What he did say, and this is, I mean, listen, in my opinion, easily the best part of the entire song. Because it's just, there's so many things here. Okay, so you start thinking.
Then you start blinking.
Just immediately. Do you blink? Do you blink more when you're thinking?
I don't think you do.
Like, I think you blink to, like, flirt.
I feel like you blink more when you're talking.
Or when you're lying.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe starting to think when lies.
I don't know when I blink more. When my eyes are irritated. I mean, there's never a moment where I'm like, you know, when I get all blinky.
Right.
But I guess when he's all thinky, he also is blinky. And it's so coincidental that those rhyme with each other.
Yeah. And then a bridesmaid looks and thinks that you're winking.
How could she mistake winking for blinking?
She's at an angle where she can't see both eyes.
Yeah, only sees the one eye.
So I have to assume then he's not looking at her. If he's at an angle where she can't see both eyes, then he's not looking. It's like a profile.
He could be looking at diagonally.
Yeah.
Okay. But if he's not making eye contact with her.
Presumably not.
So he's staring off, winking, and she's like, yeah, this is the guy I want to have sex with tonight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those guys that wink into space are such catches.
Look, maybe she's just kind of like, oh, he's sort of cross-eyed. He's looking in my direction, but
it's her kink.
Not really.
Here, let's try this in real time. Okay. I'm going to look over here.
Yeah.
I'm going to look over here, but I'm also going to look at you, and then I'm going to blink.
No, I just can see you're blinking. I can easily see
What if my angle's this way?
I will say, from my angle...
A little bit more.
From my angle, the mic is covering up one of your eyes, so if there's something in front of you, and that's when she's like, oh, okay, I think
did it look like I was winking?
Yes.
I will say, if I see someone, like, blinking a lot, I usually assume that they have a little tick. Like, sure. I don't think it's, like, a flirty thing.
Well, she's got libido on the mind, too, so she's just kind of like, that's got to be a sign. I'm going for it.
So she's putting pieces together where maybe they don't fit.
She thinks you're kind of cute, so she winks back.
Right. And again, in this scenario, you're not looking at her. So I don't know how you're like, why is that girl winking over? Did she wink more than once? I'm so curious what happened.
I feel like if someone winks in your periphery, you kind of turn and you can maybe see them still smiling. You're like, that was a wink.
Okay. Real question. Has anyone ever winked at you in like a sexual way?
Nope.
Never.
Never. Right.
It's not a thing.
I will say like very creepy catcallers and my Italian grandfather. And that is it. Mm. Oh, my old dog. My old dog winks a lot. That is it.
I don't think that's sexual, though.
Yeah, who's to say?
Who is to say?
Yeah, I'm not trying to apply my shit to my dog.
Right. Different lives.
But and I just don't think winking is a thing we do in this culture.
It's not.
Right?
No.
I'm not like, hey, you big boy. Ba-bing.
Bing. But now you're feeling firm because the girl is stacked.
Okay, ooh. Firm. Firm.
Hard.
So he's got a boner at the altar.
Yeah.
As the best man. In a tuxedo t-shirt.
I don't think this is at the altar.
Yes, it is.
I don't think this is at the... I think this is like in the reception.
No.
The next line says reception's jumping.
Yeah, that's later. But it's later.
It's closer to the last mention of any altar.
No, because he says you start thinking when the bride's walking down the aisle.
That's true.
So he gets a boner at the altar.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
It's canon now.
Yeah.
He is full staff.
No one sees it because you're all distracted by love.
I think everyone would see that. And if YouTube had existed, this would have been very viral. Can you imagine trying to get married with the presence of a large erection?
Yeah.
We are gathered here today. And the dick. Okay. So then.
Reception's jumping.
Bass is pumping. What the fuck does that mean?
No, bass is pumping.
Oh, it might be bass is pumping. Yeah, this genius.
Can you play it again? Is it bass? Is genius wrong?
Reception's jumping, bass is pumping.
It's definitely bass.
Yeah.
Fuck you, genius. Mm. Everyone told us to use genius because the other ones we were using were worse, but now genius is letting me down.
The other ones still might be way worse than this.
Where do you use your lyrics? Jumping. You're the music expert.
I usually ask them to send it to me.
Directly. Oh, come on, because you can actually talk to the artists.
That's smart.
Do you know Mr. MC Young? Can you get those?
But I do. But if I can't get that, then I use Genius.
Genius, right?
Genius is usually good.
But you know, you read it with a Wikipedia grain of salt.
Right.
Right. But I'm so upset by bass is pumping because obviously it's bass is pumping.
Yeah.
I read face is pumping and I'm like, what? Is that like you're doing facial gymnastics? I don't know what that means.
I was in sixth grade and I knew it was bass is pumping. You know?
See, I was outsmarted by a child on my own damn podcast.
We put our trust in Genius and Genius let us down.
As all of the geniuses do at the Apple Bar.
And you look at the girl and your heart starts thumping.
Something else also has already started thumping, so the heart feels like a little bit of like a second thought.
Yeah, it's catching up to the boner. says she wants to dance to a different groove. Now you know what to do, G. Bust a move.
Okay, so two questions. Is that bumping and grinding? Second question. Is that like a horizontal dance?
I'm going to say yes to both.
I wasn't expecting that.
Says she wants to dance to a different groove. It's like, look, this groove is good, but you know the groove I really want? I don't mind a little bump and grind.
That wasn't out yet.
Sure, but she might have said it. And R. Kelly's standing nearby. She's like, that's good.
Hope he wasn't.
Sure.
What did you interpret it as a little sixth grade boy?
The different groove?
Uh-huh.
Just that she wanted to change her pace.
She was like,
from
he
the
wants
mundane,
Beastie Boys.
Just, no, again, just not a literal groove. Just she's looking for a new outlook on life. And he yeah. seemed to be someone, you know, there's a chance for a new beginning.
Yeah.
And
so what do you say we get out of here and smoke a cigarette? But now you know what to do because he just told you.
It's a bust a move.
Which, get that cigarette.
Get that cigarette out.
And then have sex? Is that what bust?
I mean, down the line, it seems like sex is just sort of, it's like, look, you might have sex with this woman at some point. This is not where I'm getting you to. That's all up to you.
So he's, but, okay.
He's
my
like, I'll
question
get you to
is,
first base. It's your job to make a home run.
Is the ultimate goal in the song to say, here's how you get a girlfriend, or here's how you get laid?
It seems laid because it starts with saying, wish you could sex her.
Right. Okay. And your little sixth grade self was like, he's so romantic.
I mean, I just couldn't conceive of the sex part. I think it was just really just talking.
Oh. You know, yeah, just getting with a girl. Yeah.
What about like holding hands? Or was that too much?
No, for sure.
Holding hands was okay.
It's part of it.
Yeah. So you were like, I just want to talk to somebody and hold hands.
And kiss.
And kiss, but closed mouth,
probably.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Oh, tongue stuff was so gross.
Still kind of gross.
Tongue stuff is gross.
I don't want to feel that tongue.
I'm gonna
I mean,
come right
I do,
out and say
but
it.
I don't want to feel it.
I don't want to feel it in my mouth.
Conceptually, of course you do, but like, it's so slimy.
No, the French just invented that. One day we went from a whole society that was like, we kiss like this, and then we were like, nah, now it's like this.
Yeah.
Slimier.
You know, the French have given us so much, and it's upsetting that that's the biggest thing that stuck out.
I would say the Statue of Liberty. Hey-o.
Nope. French kissing.
Right, okay.
And then the Statue of Liberty.
In that order.
And then fries.
I feel like, did we ruin the song for you a little bit?
No, but this conversation definitely is not how I thought it would go.
Well, that was your mistake.
What did you think you were signing up for?
I don't know.
I'm so sorry that we conned you into doing our shitty podcast.
There's going to be a lot more edging talk.
Exactly.
Did someone say edging?
I'm on the edge.
Thank you, Lady Gaga.
Anything else to say about the song before we move on to how Demi fixed it?
No, I mean, it was... I wish I could hear this song the way that I heard it the first time in sixth grade, because the beat was just so unbelievable. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
And now I can't listen to it without all of the layers of paint and sadness and, you know, bad parties and terrible wedding receptions.
Yep.
Right.
That Old Navy that commercials.
Been, yeah, that have coded the song since then. So I almost can't hear it as music.
Yeah.
I just see it as an artifact.
It's like a neighborhood that gets changed. And then you can't go to the neighborhood with the same sense you used to.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wish I could somehow experience it again, because I think there's still so much to like about it.
Well, it's such a good groove.
Yeah.
It still bangs so hard, even though the lyrics are so funny.
Speaking of groove, he rhymes groove with move in the final stanza twice.
Hey, all right, Pitbull. Picture me with a Kodak.
Oh, that's true.
We haven't covered Pitbull yet. We will. Have you done Pitbull yet on Song Explorer?
What is there to punch up with a Pitbull song? I can't think of anything.
Nothing. More Dale.
Dale.
Mr. 305.
Well, if you would like to hear the song anew, I think I might have done something that you might like.
Oh, what did you do?
I figured there are two big parts of this song that I was like, those stand out to me. And I want to hear that entire story as strung together. And as just from one perspective, so I wanted to make Young MC tell a tale that was just personal and not purely anecdotal, not about giving advice.
Okay.
So I whipped this together. Bust it.
I appreciate that you left this in.
I gotta leave this in. This is the funk.
This is the part that still is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
This here's a tale you can relate to, especially for all of my fellow straight dudes. It's got a lot of turns, so you better stay tuned. Before the main tale, here's a little prelude. February, a friend's getting married. He had a little wedding with his girl Terry, and I'm there to celebrate my buddy Walter. But his girl looks fly walking towards the altar. Going down the aisle, dressing in style, Terry looks my way and flashes a smile. I think she's flirting, but I got to check, so I stand in the wedding to say I object. The guests start booing, tempers stewing, Walter screaming his big day's ruined, and Terry still says she's gonna marry the dude, but wait till she sees me bust a move.
He's going for it.
Just like
there's
two princes.
So much tension. This is like my best friend's wedding.
Oh, it is.
Until this part.
Things get hectic, I get ejected. So much anger, so unexpected. Since that wedding I haven't seen, I can't believe she hated my macarena. Feeling distraught, my very first thought, I should hire somebody to cut my dick off. But then I had an idea that's half as scary, I might as well join a monastery. Down in a funk, I got real drunk, and I asked Jeeves, how do I become a monk? It said you gotta give up the things you own, so I shaved my head and burned down my home. And I felt great, but made one mistake, I forgot to tell all of my roommates. The cops came around asking, what did you do? And that's when I had to bust the move.
Do you murder them? Are they dead?
Yes. But he's gonna dance to get out of it. It'll be okay.
I managed to evade and run all the way to the pre-check line at the TSA. My robes were visibly drenched in sweat as I walked onto my plane to Tibet. I got on board and made my way toward that window seat in row 24. I start thinking things might be alright if I can last 20 hours through this flight. The attendant offers a glass of water. I joke, is it $500? She kind of chuckles and says that it's free, and now I'm thinking she's into me. So on my knees, I start to beg, please let me have sex, but she calls police. Air Marshal tries to have me subdued, but I jumped out of the plane. Gotta bust a move. Just bust the move. Jump out of a plane.
I like that story better.
It's just cohesive and singular.
It's really good.
Thank you.
Also, I like the part about he thinks she wants to have sex with him for doing her job.
Yeah.
That does feel in line with the characters he's describing in his song.
Look, he tries to tell a joke and he gets some play, so he's like, it's move time.
She liked my witty joke.
Time. Is water free?
And while on the run from the police for multiple homicides?
Correct. So wherever he lands, he's going to have some shit to deal with.
He's going
to
be very entertaining in prison for homicide.
Yeah.
And harassment. I appreciated that.
That was awesome.
I couldn't help but think that the way you were rapping it reminded me of Werewolf Bar Mitzvah a bit.
It's a little
Yeah. It's very sing songy rap.
Yeah.
But
well,
I
think Young MC.
That's true to the original, yeah.
The part about you know, the cops coming and then just dancing away feels very true to 1989. Like, really in the spirit.
Only two ways to deal with the cops.
Yeah.
Dancing and
opening a fire hydrant.
Yes.
They hate that.
That's true, because they get their suits all wet.
Right.
And they need those dry.
Those damn kids.
You.
Having too much fun. They like pizza.
And they do love pizza. Oh, and donuts.
Donuts.
They love all sorts of foods.
Any cops that listen to this, let me know what you like. Compiling a list.
So we can evade you.
I feel like with that, we gotta get to a punchable day.
Let's do it.
You can't punch this.
Rishi, as our esteemed guest, I'd love to know what your Unpunchable Jam for the week is.
So one of the things that I miss about hip-hop of this era, I feel like it's really an art that's gone away. That you know, we got in your version, certainly, but in the original too, is the narrative song.
Yeah.
Like, hip-hop has, I think the trend, you can't even say it's a trend, it's been so long, but really it's more observational. It's more like a, you know, stand-up comics who do observations about the world.
Yeah.
And less about this kind of focused storytelling.
Yeah.
And I really miss that. I mean, the times when it does happen, like Art of Peer Pressure by Kendrick Lamar is, I mean, really that whole album is so wonderful because it's narratively driven, but it just doesn't happen that much. Anyway, Young MC was great at it, even if he was doing, you know, kind of a light half comic song anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
A couple years later, the song My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me by Geto Boys came out.
Yeah.
And this to me is just a perfect song, and also, you know, still in the spirit of like a narrative.
I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's fucked up when your mind is playing tricks on you.
I think the song is basically everything that somebody might like about The Sopranos, you can get out of this song without having to spend 6 years watching it.
Sure.
Yeah. It has,
that's such a good way to put it.
It has, you know, toxic masculinity, violence, a gangster's a gangster's struggle with all, you know, his own guilt and morality and thoughts of suicide and hallucinations. It's really, I mean, just listen to this song anytime you are trying to skip through any of the many dream sequences that Tony Soprano has.
It is true. It's a very good observation that it feels like the story songs are mostly relegated to pop music now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the last one I remember was Romeo and Juliet, Taylor Swift.
Oh, I was
like,
the
last, like, big one I remember.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time since I've heard, like...
People don't want stories anymore. I feel like people aren't as concerned with lyrics a lot lately.
It's true. We've really moved away from words, I feel like.
It's like feelings.
Well, in the general, like, top 40 anyway.
Sure.
Obviously, there are good artists still. Did I say that? Sorry. My mistake.
What is your Unpunchable for this week?
I was really inspired by this bass line. This bass line makes the damn song. I feel horrible for little old Flea. I mean, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Still, I'm like, man, this is like, the whole song would just be completely different without that bass line. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to choose another song that I feel like is similar, so I chose The Smiths' This Charming Man.
I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch to wear. This man said it's cruising, but someone sometimes...
Really?
Yeah.
It's a classic. Song. It's the bass in that song you almost don't notice, but I feel like that's kind of in this type of music what the bass is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then when you start paying attention to it, it kind of blows your mind because you're like, this bassist is doing double time for every other instrumentalist in this band.
Right.
Johnny Marr is the guy who usually gets all the credit for the Smiths having great music, the guitar player, but you know, the bassist is amazing.
Right?
It's really amazing.
It's just like, I'm blown away. I have not noticed it that much in other Smith songs, but for some reason on This Charming Man, I'm just like, what the hell happened this day? It's amazing.
I gotta check that out.
What is your Unpunchable jam, Demi?
Funny enough, my Unpunchable jam was a song that was already on my playlist of Unpunchables, but I also, when playing Bust a Move on YouTube, it was in the recommended, so I was like, perfect. And it is Buggin' Out by A Tribe Called Quest.
Somebody been saying, shorty, back your buggin' out.
Zulu Nation, Mother's last creation, minds get flooded. Ejaculation right on the 2-inch tape. The abstract poet incognito runs the cape, not the best, not the worst. And occasionally I goes to get my
I just love any good like posse cut song where it's just kind of like, here's my verse and here's my verse. And it's a very similar type of rhyming, except it's just like very braggadocious and they're always just rapping about themselves. And it's still that very basic, like, here's a sample, it's got a little bass over it, and then it's just like, microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? The 5-foot assassin with the roughneck business. So I love that it's just kind of very simple rap that is very fun and not as storytelling driven as this one, but it is still very, it feels like they were going for some sort of cohesive idea with each of their verses. So yeah. I like that a lot.
I love it when you can feel them take a turn.
Yes.
It's like Spice Girls.
Exactly.
Geto Boys. Technically, it's Posse Cut. I mean, all three of them rhyme on it.
That's amazing. I only really know Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster. And I do, they each take three turns. No, a word from the president on that one. But I don't know. It seems like that song seems tight too. Rishi, where can people follow you on the internet?
At Rishi Hirway, that's me as a human being. Mm-hmm. My name is, well, I guess people know how my name is spelled because they're
reading it.
They're reading.
Look up.
Yeah. I'm at Rishi Hirway on Twitter and Instagram. And then my podcasts are also, you can find them on there.
Song Exploder and West Wing.
Weekly.
West Wing Weekly. Mm-hmm. I love that alliteration.
At Song Exploder and at West Wing Weekly.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, I can't speak to the West Wing Weekly, but I assume if it's anything as good as Song Exploder, it's very good.
Well, maybe you can start watching the West Wing.
There you go. That's what I'll do first, and then I'll catch up with the podcast. Exactly. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Blast.
You're definitely the most qualified person to ever have been on the show.
I definitely feel like I didn't put enough in for that then.
Oh, my God. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You're
incredible. Dream guest. If you want to follow us, we're at Punch Up the Jam everywhere. Demi's at Electro Lemon. I'm at Miel. You can send us song suggestions or any fun tidbits, but don't send me things.
punchupthejam@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can
very sensitive.
Listen to the songs on punchupthejam.com.
You can.
Yeah, they're all up.
Follow me out at me. Did you already do? You
can I
follow.
Did. I sure did.
Oh well.
I did it so fast you didn't even notice.
That is true. I was like, is she gonna say the website?
I already did, bro. Get on my level.
Okay, well then I guess we're done.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.